One particular joy for me this last week was being able to call on Vicki, because the week turned out to be, like many of our weeks, more unpredictable and busier than I had expected. So I'm very grateful to her for lending her writing talents to the sermon or homily today, and I do thank her for writing it. So let me proceed. Author Salman Rushdie once wrote that he knew what ghosts were. They were unfinished business.
Yes, they are unfinished business.
Yeah.
And I have some unfinished business with you. Spot.
Okay.
No. 2 weeks ago, I made an announcement about the Holiday Star program, how it began here at Fort Collins, when I became dismayed with the tattered and faded decorations on our Yule tree. That's when we began the idea of honoring the significant people in our lives with whom we can no longer spend the holidays by decorating stars in their memory and hanging them during the church services leading up to Christmas. Remember?
Sure, I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, as a bit of background to what I'm going to say next, you should know that Mark and I frequently talk about the role perspective plays in our lives, how what one person thinks can be so different from what the way another person views any given situation. This kind of difference crops up when we define movie plots or facial expressions or what standard we should employ when we clean the bathroom. But memory? Why would the two of us differ on memory, particularly after having spent so many years together? Like many people who've hung out with each other for a very long time, sometimes the exact same expression comes out of our respective mouths at exactly the same time. And whenever that happens, I begin to think one of us might be redundant. And I hope you can appreciate my kindness that I'm not saying who that redundant person should be. But back to the stars. As I walked off the stage, I heard you tell the congregation, I started the STAR program at our former church in Watertown. And I have to tell you, it took a great deal of effort not to come running back up here and correct you.
Huh.
I think you were confusing the stars with something else that I am very proud of doing during my time as a UU.
And I think I know what it is, but what was that?
It was 1983, mid-October. I was in the hospital, overwhelmed with love and gratitude for our healthy firstborn son lying in my arms. But when I turned on the TV to watch the news, there was a doctor from the Failure to Thrive Clinic at Boston City Hospital, and she was talking about her babies, sharing that when children don't get enough to eat, they don't thrive. And if they don't thrive, they don't grow and mature into the best people they can be, and then we all suffer. The doctor pleaded with viewers, telling them that her children needed something to eat. So as soon as I got back home, I started a monthly food collection at the First Parish of Watertown that I am proud to say continues to this day. Still, jars of peanut butter and cans of healthy beans aren't exactly fun, which is why when it got close to Christmas, I organized a second drive for the clinic, this time gathering up toys. And that collection also continues to this day. Since our STAR program centers around the holidays, I think that's what you were thinking of, Mark.
Well, I recall all those brightly wrapped toy cars and dolls you took to the hospital every year. And do you remember the one time you wore a complete Santa suit, beard and all, for your delivery?
Yeah, I had a lot of fun that year. And I know the kids got a kick out of seeing St. Nick, But just between you and me, one of the main goals for my doing that was I wanted to see if Santa would have to pay the 35-cent charge on the toll road that I took into Boston. He did. I'm like, really? I'm Santa. But, you know, anyway. Although I didn't give another star announcement last week, I kept thinking about your heir. And then in the middle of the week, the unthinkable dropped in and tapped me on the shoulder. Now, I know we all need checks on our memory, even when we're right. So Saturday, I called my friend Sue in Watertown and started describing the STAR program to her, explaining how it is a wonderful way to remember people while raising money to help those in need. And Sue is a very caring person, so I was sure she would be intrigued and want to know more. That's why what she said surprised me. I love that program. I remember when you started it.
Yes!
My dad had died that fall, and I was so lonely without him. It was really meaningful to me to commemorate his life with a star. Are you sure? I stammered. Even though I could hear the words that she was saying, I was still convinced that Mark and she were wrong. I couldn't have started the program at Watertown. They don't even have a party needs store. That's where I buy the stars. Yet Sue just kept chatting away, sharing how the church had continued to hang stars for a number of years after Mark and I left, until finally support for what is now more positively called the Growth Clinic at Boston City Hospital took over the church's holiday spirit, and they put all their energy into food and toy collections. So much for my fail-safe memory, which at least in this particular instance behaved rather like a ghost, which I know Mark wanted to talk about today. It was ephemeral, flimsy, and definitely something to be frightened by.
But that is the nature of ghosts. They haunt, they scare, they're a bit gauzy looking. Furthermore, in Victorian England, there was a strong tradition of telling ghost stories at Christmas time, which I know has always puzzled the two of us, especially since for us, ghosts and goblins are associated with Halloween. But British humorist Jerome K. Jerome wrote in his 1891 anthology entitled Told After Supper, "Whenever five or six English-speaking people meet round a fire on Christmas Eve, they start telling each other ghost stories." And in America, there's even a line in that classic carol, "It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year," which says, "There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago." And we mustn't forget A Christmas Carol, even though this well-known tale was written in 1834. The message of Dickens' ghosts remains with us yet today. When our church members buy presents for children at the Family Center or sing to shut-ins at Columbine, their kindness draws upon the message of those four Dickensian specters who drew attention to the importance of justice in the here and now. And it was this attitude of social responsibility that almost single-handedly revived a festival banned because of rambunctious behavior and the overuse of alcohol. Perhaps this resurrection of Christmas shouldn't come as a surprise, for all transformations seek recognition.
Well, speaking of situations where we are driven to change our behavior for the better, the dictionary's definition of a ghost is that it is the soul of a dead person making an appearance in the world of the living. And in my opinion, these souls usually come back because they have something important to tell us, some piece of unfinished business, as Rushdie said. And in that same kind of boundary-challenging way, our own STAR program hasn't always stayed within the walls of this church. Last year, on December 14th, 20 first grade students at Sandy Hook Elementary School were killed by a deranged young man who also took the lives of six teachers and staff members, his mother, and himself. Responding to this horror, a number of people in our church community purchased and decorated stars in honor of the children and teachers whose deaths haunted our conscience. The money we raised was immediately sent to the Red Cross, but knowing how numb and overwhelmed the Newtown community would be during those first shocking weeks, I waited until this past November to mail our beautifully decorated stars. When I sent the box off to the families who lost their loved ones, I included a note which read in part,
"Dear friends in Newtown, Connecticut, each year members and friends of the Unitarian Church in Fort Collins, Colorado, purchase stars and decorate them in memory of someone they can no longer spend the holidays with. Following the tragedy at Sandy Hook, a number of people purchased stars for you. The money we raised was sent to the Red Cross to help with relief efforts, and this year we send you the decorated stars to let you know that your town, your children, your loved ones will never be forgotten."
I think I know why the British choose Christmas to talk about ghosts. There's something special in the air. For as Jerome K. Jerome also said, ghost stories told on any other evening than the 24th of December would be impossible in English society. December, with its short days and dark nights, snow and starlight, is an evocative month, and it touches upon our feelings in a deeply emotional way. Many of us have our own Christmas ghosts to contend with. Melancholy memories of times past and opportunities lost. The knowledge that we don't always see eye to eye with the people we love. That they can disappoint or disappear or die. We can even be haunted by our own shortcomings.
These are the kinds of ghosts Dickens wrote about. They call us to task. They demand that we remember what's important in this world. And when we don't, they plague us with scary scenes to jar our memories. Giving a different kind of warning, the British comedian Spike Mulligan once wrote, "Things that go bump in the night should not really give one a fright. It's the hole in each ear that lets in the fear that and the absence of light."
Spike was right. To be profoundly transformed by the promise of Christmas and Hanukkah and Yule and all the other winter celebrations we enjoy, we must find a way to release the coldness of fear from our hearts and learn to let the light in. I don't know if you heard, Mark, but this past week, actually on Tuesday, Vice President Joe Biden traveled to meet with the families of Newtown. And while there, he announced that $100 million in federal funding will go to increase the quality of mental health care in the United States. But even though this action is laudable, there are other ghosts who still haunt us. The search for reasonable gun control, the demand that we feed the poor, the need to speak up when workers aren't being paid a fair living wage.
You're right, Vicki. In the same way that Dickens' ghosts came silently in the dead of night to wake Ebenezer up, we are still being challenged to imagine the light, to welcome it into our hearts, to help justice find a home in the world. As the one-year anniversary of Sandy Hook approached, the families in Newtown asked the media to leave them alone, stating that the community is choosing to remember and honor those who lost their lives in ways that are quiet, personal, and respectful. We will be centering on themes of kindness, love, and service to others. Their statement went on to add words that I believe resonate with our STAR program.
In the midst of our grief, we have come to realize that we want our loved ones to be remembered for the lives they lived and how they touched our hearts. We would like to keep that spirit of unity and love alive in all we do to remember those we miss so dearly.
Yet just this last Friday, there was another school shooting, this time in Colorado. And with each act of violence, new ghosts are born, demanding that we work together to honor what is holy and true. for only then will it be within our power to bring peace on earth to a troubled world.
A few weeks ago, Mark and I really did have a difference of opinion about where the Caring Star program began. Yet I think we both have always known that the real message of the STAR program started eons ago, when wise people the world over lit menorahs and brought Yule trees in out of the dark, and in the cold of night looked deep into the eastern sky to find a beacon of beauty, truth, and goodness. When Newtown parents Francine and David Wheeler were asked where they thought their son was now, the mother of Ben, who was six when he died, said, "He's in the sky. He's in my heart. He's with his brother Nate and with all his friends. He's in our dreams." Ben's father went on to add, "Ben is part of us, and he is everywhere. He has become our light."
Holding on to this kind of love is how we begin to let the light come in. So let's join together now in a time of reflection. We invite you to hang your caring stars.